So all that heat means folks are probably searching for the nearest beach to keep cool, especially as we have the holiday weekend coming up. But here in New England, we all know summer and the ocean have a bit of a complicated relationship.
I don't think you appreciate the gut reaction people have to these things.
Harry, I appreciate it. I'm just reacting to what I was told.
Martin, it's all psychological. You yell barracuda.
Everybody says,
huh?
What?
You yell shark. We've got a panic on our hands on the 4th of July.
That, of course, is Amity Island Police Chief Martin Brody and Mayor Larry Vaughn talking about a great white shark in the 1974 hit movie Jaws, filmed, of course, on Martha's Vineyard. It's a Hollywood production, but we are seeing an increase of shark sightings around the Cape in recent years, and some folks are wondering, is it becoming more of a reality? So joining us now to spill all the secrets about sharks is John Chisholm. He's an adjunct shark scientist at the New England Aquarium. And John, I have to apologize right out the gate because I promised Amanda Beelen, who produced this segment, that I would say it's fantastic to have you here on Radio Boston.
Thanks, Chris. Happy to be here.
All right. So we know today the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy, which operates the Sharktivity app, previewed the beginning of shark season. We all know about Shark Week. Tell us about shark season. How long is it? When does it actually run? What time are we talking about?
Well, if you're talking about white sharks, we're talking basically July through December, with the peak of the season being in September and October.
All right. So that's interesting, because speaking of that Sharktivity app, there have been about 24 sightings or so this month, and most of those in the last couple of weeks. What do you make of this? Is that an early start to the season? And what does that mean?
No, it's actually pretty much on track. I've been keeping track of shark sightings in Massachusetts since the 70s. And, you know, the sharks have always been here. We're seeing more now that the seals have come back and are attracting attention from the sharks. And there's more people on the water, and everybody has a cell phone, you know, which is basically a camera and a computer on in their hand, so that we get a lot more reports. But it's basically right on track compared to the previous years. You know, the sharks start to pick up in numbers right about now. So it's not unusual.
So that makes a lot of sense in terms of sightings. More folks aware and like you said, have devices to kind of capture those sightings. I will say the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy held a briefing today and acknowledged during that briefing that there have been an increase in negative interactions between human and sharks in recent years. You mentioned the seals. Are there other factors contributing to that? And maybe what would you classify as a negative interaction between humans and sharks?
Well, a negative interaction is a bite. When someone gets bit or you know, knocked off a surfboard or something like that, that would be a negative interaction. And there have been several. You know, there was the fatality in Maine last year, and right. then going back a couple of years, the fatality down the Cape. So those are the negative interactions. And there have been more, but, you know, in the overall picture, it's still, you know, pretty low, you know, when you look at how many people go to the beach every single day. But it's, you know, we gotta raise awareness and, you know, do more public outreach, which is why, you know, they had events like today and why, you know, I'm here to talk sharks. You know, the more people are aware, the less likely there's, you know, going to be a negative interaction.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Sharks obviously have a pretty specific reputation. I'm going to play one more cut, and I promise this is the last cut we're going to play from Jaws. But I just, the description, I think, really speaks to how a lot of folks react viscerally to even thinking about sharks. So this is a scene where scientist Matt Hooper, who's played by Richard Dreyfuss, is talking about great white sharks.
What we are dealing with here is a perfect engine, an eating machine. It's really a miracle of evolution. All this machine does is swim and eat and make little sharks. And that's all. Now, why don't you take a long, close look at this sign? Those proportions are correct.
Love to prove that, wouldn't you? Get your name into the National Geographic.
So talk to us, John, if you would, a little bit about what sharks actually represent for the ecosystem. Are they this menacing threat that our society has kind of painted them to be?
No. I think most people realize that, even more now with the amount of, you know, education with different shark programs and, you know, people seeing firsthand that, you know, these sharks are here. But sharks, you know, they're just trying to live their lives doing what sharks do. Just, you know, they have to eat, they have to reproduce to survive. And, you know, they're just making their living out there. And whether it's a white shark or a mako shark or a sand tiger shark, you know, we have a bunch of different species in our waters and, you know, they all have a role to play. Some eat, you know, small fish and crustaceans, some eat larger fish and marine mammals. And, you know, for the most part, they're just doing what they do. And every once in a while, we have that negative interaction, but it does strike that primal chord in our, you know, in our being that, you know, there's something out there that, you know, we can't control that, that, you know, can potentially, you know.
Yeah. We all hear that music in our head, right?
Yeah. And being in Massachusetts, you know, the jaws,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of life imitating art. You know, it's,
yeah,
it is, you know, ironic that,
I have to imagine, though, like most species, they must play an integral role in the ecosystem, right? If we remove them from the equation, the ocean would probably be in some trouble. Can you tell
us? Yes. Yeah, they all have their role to play in controlling the prey that they feed on. And, you know, when you start removing the sharks, you start seeing the impact trickle down through the food chain.
So folks who are swimming or at the beach for a holiday may not necessarily enjoy seeing a great white shark, but they are a protected species. I've got to imagine that scientists like yourself are actually encouraged when you do see sightings, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely are seeing, you know, an increase in sharks, but in other parts of the world, they're having the opposite. You know, there's a major decline in sharks, and it's, you know, great right now for us to be seeing this. It indicates that there's a healthy ecosystem, even though, you know, not everybody wants to see a shark at the beach. It is a good sign.
So I mentioned the briefing today from the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy. They were talking at that briefing about studying data and trying to basically predict when and where sharks will show up. I'm wondering, how accurately can we do that? Now, you mentioned you're kind of not surprised to see a certain number of sightings. So how accurately can we predict where they're going to be, and what else don't we know about them? What do you think are the most important things we should be studying?
Well, there's, you know, for every question we try to answer, we end up getting, you know, a half a dozen more. What we're trying to do is looking at patterns and behavior. Now that we have so many sharks tagged, we can, you know, look and see, you know, what sharks are at what beach at what time of day on what tide or what weather conditions. You know, people from the Center of Coastal Study are also looking at the geography of the region to see, you know, which beaches sharks are preferring, the time of year they're there. All that will factor into being able to say, you know, you're more likely to see a shark at X location on the X day when the, you know, weather is like this. But in theory, that, you know, sounds great, but it's really hard to do, because one thing I've learned from studying these sharks is just when you think you can predict something, they go and, you know, change it up.
They zig when you think they're gonna zag.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're gonna talk later this week about, there's been a pretty significant increase in drownings this year. So we're gonna be talking about that on Thursday. But as we're talking about water safety and specifically folks heading to the beach and potentially being in the water as we're seeing increased shark sightings, how can folks stay safe? What should they do? And what's your advice for folks who may be heading to the beach this weekend?
Well, the best thing you can do is, you know, educate yourself. Read before you go to the beach. Read the shark safety guidelines. The Cape Cod National Seashore has an excellent page that goes over all the different recommendations as far as, you know, not going out too deep, you know, not swimming at dawn and dusk, stuff like that, not swimming where there's bait in the water. And one other thing I've had to reiterate this to other people. A lot of people just, you know, see on the news and hear about the work going on off Cape Cod and think that the sharks are just off Cape Cod. But, you know, these white sharks that we tag travel all you know, throughout the region, throughout Massachusetts waters, throughout New England waters, up into Canada. And then, you know, in the winter, they moved south down off the southeast. So these guidelines aren't just for, you know, someone going to the beach on Cape Cod. They should be followed by anybody going to the beach, just so you're aware, so you're prepared, and, you know, you're less likely to have a negative interaction.
All right. That sounds great. That's John Chisholm. He's an adjunct shark scientist at the New England Aquarium. John, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.